What's up, everybody? I am Natalie Diaz, founder of Twiniversity, author of What to Do When You're Having Two and the Newborn Twin Sleep Guide, and welcome to the Twiniversity podcast, the only podcast where parenting twins isn't just a challenge, it's an adventure. Whether you're juggling bottles, nap schedules, or just trying to keep your sanity intact, we've genuinely got you covered. Join us each episode as we share tips, stories, and laughs with fellow twin parents from around the globe and experts too, who just get it. From the chaos to the cuddles, we're here to support, laugh, and learn together. So grab your favorite cup of coffee or whatever you're drinking these days, buckle up, and get ready for some real talk about real life with twinnies. Because when you're raising a duo, everything is twice as fun. Hey guys, it's me, Nat. And listen, I know that one of the biggest struggles of twin families is figuring out the logistics of things. How are we going to do this? How are you going to stay hydrated? How are you going to have that sandwich to put some fuel back in your body? Well, guys, it's not magic. It's actually the WeGo Twin Carrier, because we all know that welcoming twins, well, yes, it is totally double the love. It is double the challenge. That's just our reality, guys. But this is why the WeGo Twin Carrier is the game changer for twin parents. Designed specifically for two babies, the WeGo offers hands-free comfort and closeness from day one, even for preemies as small as 4 pounds. That's right, it's literally the only twin carrier that supports your tiniest baby safely and securely right from birth. So whether you're calming two newborns, tackling endless laundry, because why are there so many socks? Or you're simply trying to sip a little bit of that drink in peace, the WeGo makes it possible, because wherever you go, we go. Get it? So for more information, go to WeGo.com, which is WeeGo.com. Hey, Lauren, welcome back to our podcast intro, Time Together.
Thanks for having me again. I love this.
It's fun. Can't do it without you. You're my emotional support intro host.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Feels so special.
I think it qualifies for insurance coverage. I think I pay like a little copay for you, but then the rest you're going to have to go through Fidelis, who I currently have, which I think only Fidelis. 11 people have Fidelis care. Is it even national? I don't even know. It's horrible. If you're listening, don't pick Fidelis. And Fidelis, if you're listening, call me, because you really have a lot of things you have to fix. That is a horrible insurance plan. But thank God for the marketplace. I don't know what I would do. Seriously, if we didn't have Obamacare, I'm one of those families, I would be doomed. You guys have good insurance, though.
I have amazing insurance.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it.
Thank God for UPS. Maybe UPS can be a sponsor or something.
I need to marry Dan on the sneak.
He has some single friends.
Time out.
That work there.
If you left Dan, do you get to, as his ex-wife, do you get his insurance?
I don't think so.
Then this will never work. There goes that idea.
Maybe we can adopt you. But you're over 26. So, yeah.
Am I though?
We'll lie.
I'm just turned 27.
You could pass for 16.
I don't ever want to be 27 again. Do you have any desire to go back in time?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I wish I had the energy that I had when I was 27.
That would be nice. That would be. I wish I had the sense of fearlessness.
I was
pretty, like, not a big risk taker, but like, I try that. Now I'm like, no, thank you. I have to leave my house. I'm good. Where do I have to go? What is that? A 15-minute drive? I'm good.
Yeah. I'll just stay right here. I'm good.
This is where I live now. That's it. Forever. Even driving out this weekend to go to the island of Long, truthfully, it took me a minute to get there, by the way.
Well, yeah, because you were like in rush hour traffic. Hello.
Holy crap. This is why I don't leave the house. As I'm stuck on the Long Island Expressway trying to get to a graduation party that wasn't far from Lauren, there was a piece of me that literally wanted to be like, I should just drive to her house and sleep in the backyard.
But
I was like, the mosquitoes,
totally
I really thought
here.
About it. I did, but
you
I had to buy polyurethane and I had to bring it home. You know how this goes. God forbid I have one to. Yeah, Lauren, I had to go to Home Depot and buy polyurethane for floors. Let's not talk about it. I digress.
Next
we're going to
time.
Talk to a dad today that we're going to, literally, I got to tell you about this podcast, because I know I could go go just vent for the crap that I have to do, which I am sure that I am not alone. Does Dan do that to you? Like, oh, you're already out of the house. Could you grab this? It's not like, could you
Oh,
pick
yeah.
up milk? It's like, could you pick up 17 pounds of
Polyurethane.
cat litter and some polyurethane? And could you make two keys? What?
I get a lot of, you have so much time on your hands. Why can't you just go do that? I'm like, well, because I've been doing seven other things today. I
I
know.
do. I can't. Why can't they just do their own thing? But here, I will tell you the good news. We're going to talk to a twin dad. His name is
Okay.
Meyer. You're going to fall in love. I should have asked him if he wanted to get married and have benefits, but I think his wife would probably have a problem with it. So he is an unbelievable dad that is changing his career, and he's becoming a parenting coach for twin dads.
We need that.
See, I knew you'd like this one.
We need that because
Oh,
there's a
you're
lot
gonna
of
love him.
dads who have a hard, really hard time adjusting to parenthood in general. And when there's twins, it's really a struggle. Definitely.
He started a business called Here for the Dads, and he's on Insta and all socials and all that stuff. But he's going to create a parenting program, and hopefully by the time this comes out, it'll already be there. Who knows? But maybe it doesn't happen. Who we also know that sometimes our dreams just have to be dreams for a minute while our kids are still little. He has 700 children, not really, but he's got a few, and he just had another singleton. So he's got a baby in the house, plus his 20s, plus some other singletons. Like he's really,
Busy.
really amazing. He is. The one complaint that I had, you have to, like, if you're listening to this episode, you're going to have to go to YouTube and you're going to have to watch the video because I had a problem with the logo that he created for his business. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to go watch that too
Oh
because
my God,
I'm going
I
to
can't
keep you
wait
in
to see this
suspense.
logo.
But yeah,
Can
that
you
was like,
text
I
me
was
it?
like, hey, there's something wrong with that logo. And he's like, you're right. And I'm like, that's it. Entrepreneur to entrepreneur, you need to fix that. So hopefully he fixes that. But
Oh, I can't wait to see this logo.
he's such a thoughtful man, and he's so caring for his kids, but he's got that peace that you need when you do have a parent coach. So for the record, I abuse all of my friends that are coaches of any kind that aren't in Little League. You know that. You know
Yeah.
that. And literally when I put on Facebook that I'm like, guys, that's life coaching isn't a thing. That's called a friend that just is guiding you someplace. Like if we,
Yeah.
and I'm not saying that you don't pay your friends. I pay Lauren. She's my friend. That's the only reason why she stays friends with me. She gets $2 every week. I should start sending you $2 a week just for fun, though.
Like
But
automatic,
yes,
send
it
it to
should be
me.
like Venmo, automatic Venmo.
I'll
And
save
I
it.
do, please.
I'll have $104 and then we can have a dinner. We can go to
Oh, I
dinner.
would love that. Where are we
Oh,
going in this city? If we have two hot dogs
you
and a soda
pick.
for
You,
$104 in
yeah,
Manhattan.
you pick it. You pick it.
Okay, I'm going to come say we'll go to 7-Eleven.
Okay.
We'll have
Slurpees
taquitos
and Big Bites.
that we could afford to have a meal there. That's all I got. And a Gatorade. I'm going to pass you there. But now they have fresh sandwiches, but we digress. I just was in a 7-Eleven the other day. I was thinking about you. Lauren's anniversary is 7-Eleven. So anytime
Yes.
I pass a 7-Eleven, I literally think of Lauren as if you own the chain of
Yeah,
7-Elevens all
I
across the
wish.
world.
Imagine.
You even had your wedding photos taken at
I
7-Eleven.
did have a picture taken in front of 7-Eleven, and we get our free Slurpees every year. You have to go at the crack of dawn, though, because then by like noon, they're sold out. The machines are empty.
Here, the 7-Elevens in Manhattan are super sketchy.
Some
Like,
of them around here are. There's very nice ones, and then there's ones that are like, ooh, I wouldn't send my enemy in there. So it
no,
depends on where you go. And
they're
there's
really,
like
really
a
bad. Don't
million of
ever.
them here. We have 7-Elevens like down the block from each other.
That's why I was thinking about it the other day when I was driving out. I was
Yeah.
like, oh my God, there's so many of them. But
There's
I
so
don't
many.
ever, if you ever come to New York City and you
Don't
are
go to
on the island
7-Eleven.
of Manhattan and you see a 7-Eleven, whatever you
Run.
do not
Run.
go in. Do not go in. They're bad.
Bad idea.
It's really bad in there and they're
Definitely don't get a
dirty.
sandwich from there.
No,
Don't.
no.
No.
I'm scared to go in. I am not scared of anything. I will walk down a dark alley in the middle of the night. I will fight a crackhead. I am okay with it.
When you,
7-Elevens? Nope,
next
it's my
time you
limit.
come, we're going to go to the nicest 7-Eleven in the area because it's really nice.
Lauren,
It's gigantic.
is it like Bucky's nice?
It's comparable. You're, we'll
All
go. And it's close to the thrift store, so we'll go.
right, I'm in. Okay. All right, we got to meet Meyer. Are you ready to meet a
Okay,
twin dad
I'm
who's
ready.
going to change the game? And if anybody's going to do it, it's not going to be John or Dan, for God's sake. We certainly know that, but
We
it's going to
know
be
that.
Meyer. All right, here
Yes.
comes Meyer. Guys, you're going to love him. Get ready. Hey, Meyer, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Ugh.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, I always get excited, truthfully, when a dad comes on because we get hundreds of applications for our podcast, which is really nice, but I feel like when the dads do, we have to pay more attention because we know a lot of dads listen. And so dads get upset because they're like, "Hey, we'd like more episodes with dads." And we're like, "Could we just have more dads apply? It's not an us thing. This isn't an us problem. This is a community-wide problem." So look at you joining us. Thank you for finally being brave enough.
Absolutely. This is a good place to be in, so I'm happy to be here.
It is. It's definitely a safe space when it comes to twinnies. If you have singletons, maybe not so safe. Maybe not so safe for you here.
And I got both, so I needed to be
What
here.
was first? Did you have your singleton first or your twinnies?
Oh God, I still don't know how people did Tim's first. Thankfully, I had one singleton first, and then I did twins. I don't know if I would have been able to make it. Like, I don't know if I could be here today if I would have done twins. So I'm praying and so happy for the ones who have done that.
I feel bad too. For the twins first. Because the thing is, just think about not even the twins, but like your first time being a parent. You're up every 15 minutes making sure everybody's breathing. You're really on point about everything, no screen time, making sure that everything is on lock. And then once you have your second kid, you're like, all right, that was a little ridiculous. I went a little too over the top. But then you have twinnies and you're like, okay, I got to let even more go.
Yes, it just
It is a
happens
blessing.
too. It is a blessing. It just happens though. To do it for the first time, you got like all these plans and like everything in your head is how you're going to do it and what you're going to buy. Then now you got to do everything twice. And thankfully though, because it is your first, people are more willing to like give. The baby shower was always
True.
big the very first time. So it's like, oh my God, twins, first time. It's like, oh, do all this stuff. And then for me, it's like, I have this leftover stuff, but I only have one version. So it's like, do I go find the other copy of this old shirt or do I just buy two of everything now? So that's a whole nother pressure that we have as twin parents.
I'm not into it. I'm into apparently just being poor at that point of your kids' lives and realizing that's why we don't have nice things. And yeah, but it's funny because you do realize from the first time around that you didn't need all that stuff. And all the stuff that you didn't need, you're like, okay, that was ridiculous. Why the heck did I, buy a swing for upstairs and downstairs? For the record, I don't have an upstairs and downstairs, but I imagine this is what people with a giant normal size homes do. They're not even giant. I just live in a micro apartment. So that's one of the benefits of living in a micro apartment is that I have no place to put anything, barely the children. Forget about the 100-pound dog that's sitting behind me. She keeps growing like Clifford, this giant jerk. So today, I do really want to get to our topic because I think we are not the only ones that have had this. And I want to talk about when twins change your career. Now, sometimes people are like, well, I had to get a better paying job. Yes. Does that count as a career change? I don't really know because the thing is, we all need to make more money because we have more people to support. But we changed careers. So you were in the process of becoming a parenting coach and potentially pursuing a degree in social work. Like, this is a change. What did you do before and how did you evolve to what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. The twins have controlled the life, to be honest. Like, I was in the Navy for 10 years as a commissioned officer. And as soon as my wife found out we were having twins, we were in Guam. And apparently, they don't do high risk pregnancies. And that's what they were considering high risk. And we had a high risk the first time, too. So we got kicked out. We were supposed to do 3 years there. And they were like, hey, yeah, she can't stay here. You guys are either going to have to split up and you take your two oldest kids with you and stay in Saipan, or she goes to Okinawa. And we were like, yeah, we're not going to do that. So we came back to Norfolk. It was a hard fight, but that was like the first kind of career battle change that we had with twins. And then I started to recognize because I have five kids. I got a 7-year-old, 4-year-old, set of twin boys that are two. And I just had a baby girl in March. She is 2 months old. So four boys, one girl. And as I'm doing this thing called fatherhood, I recognize it's like really fun. Like, I really like it. I'm extremely passionate about it. And there's a lot of challenges. There's also challenges at work that I have to battle. So I found myself going through these priorities of like, what's more important? Of course, I'm going to choose my family. So with deployments and everything being in the mist, I decided to get out of the Navy. And when I got out, I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Now I have this podcast over here for the Dads Podcast, and I got this organization, a community of dads that were just doing cool stuff. And I'm like, well, I can go do consulting or like go on Indeed and just kind of figure something out. And I recognize like, well, what if, I kind of made this a real thing, like made this the job. And I started looking around and started recognizing that there was space and place for me to do this. And I'm still figuring it out. So right now I'm in the Jai Parenting Institute. It's like 7 months long. It's extremely awesome. My cohort is awesome. And I'm learning how to be a conscious parenting coach. And I also want more educational background. So right now I'm looking at a master's in social work, and I'm pretty much looking everywhere because I want to make sure I'm getting something good. Because although I can give my experience and things to other parents and we could talk about twins and the life of fatherhood, it would be more helpful for me and beneficial if I had some type of educational background too.
I am so impressed. First of all, thank you for your service, for real. I sleep at night because of you, so thank you. And for everybody else, I am also a loser in my family. I'm one of the only ones that didn't join the Navy. So I am the traitor amongst a family of service people. So thank you for bringing up a sore subject. No,
Oh no.
I'm only kidding. It really is. It's so admirable and impressive. But I can't believe that they made you leave. First of all, this isn't the first time that I heard this. So that's the thing that I don't know if people know that. We've had a family that was in Japan that was sent back to the United States because they couldn't handle the pregnancy there, which I don't know why they didn't just transfer to a different base or something, but it is interesting how the military is like, no, thank you. We're good. We don't even want twins. We're
We don't want
fine.
that smoke.
Yeah, we're
Twins?
okay.
What? Yeah, get that out of here.
That's horrible, but this is our life, right? This is our life. Like, we have some weird rejection factors that start at conception. Like, everybody just literally, this is why Twiniversity exists. It's because everybody's either afraid of us, or they feel bad for us, or they're confused, or they have stupid questions. So, I am so glad that you are going to be like another voice for our community and to the world. But that's a big change. What did you do in the Navy?
So I was a surface warfare officer, but my main trait was anti-terrorism, force protection, like the really cool stuff. So
That is really cool stuff. I was hoping you worked in like the mess hall or something, because that'd be like, okay, that'll
yeah,
transition. You're
that'll.
used to handling, an army of tiny animals. So there you go.
Well,
But
the
now,
anti-terrorism stuff probably helped more with me in the house. Like everything else didn't really translate, but navigating the house like I'm actually in a mission or something like that with the kids is extremely helpful. Like already this morning they were running around with like 2 cups of water and I'm playing zone, so it's helpful in that way. That's the military has helped me with twins, I'll put it that way.
that is really interesting. So, did you find that with besides being more organized and being more prepared, am I crazy to think that there is a different way that you learn to sleep quickly? Like, did anything happen? I remember once upon a time, I was talking to another parent in the military, and I remember talking about sleep deprivation. And it was a mom, and she was like, nope. She's like, I have no problem with that. She's like, because if I have 20 minutes, I'll sleep for 20 minutes. And I said, okay, how does one use this seeker power? And she said that she remembered that somebody was talking about like how to do this and relax your face and think these thoughts and whatever. So there was like a military method of sleep, let's say. And so that was her big take on how she was prepared, because she's like, I've had sleep deprivation when I was deployed, and I just had to be up for, 48 hours at a chunk and get 15 minutes of rest where I can. Did you have a similar situation? Like, even like going back to like boot camp, do you remember that traumatizing, wonderful time of your life? Like, right? Traumatizing, hashtag wonderful gift, a gift of life. Do you remember that? And do you feel that kind of prepared you more for being thrown into the fire as a dad of five?
Absolutely. My wife was also in the military too, so we share this. You get thrown in that fire early, and not only just boot camp, but as a surface warfare officer. When you're on a ship, you can't just turn the ship off and go home, especially if you're out at sea. It's not like, oh, okay, my shift is over. Beep, beep, like hang the keys up for the car and go home. So there's always that 24-hour watch. And a lot of times, let's say you're an engineer, you're going to be up no matter what. If you're in charge of stuff, something's breaking, you're going to be up in the middle of the night. So there was many of those 48 hours or those 4 hour nights of sleep, 2 hour nights of sleep, or get up 2 hours then go back to sleep for 2 hours and get back up and go back to sleep for another hour. So when it came time to have the babies, we're like, hey, we can just run this like a watch time. We set up our times to work together just like that.
So with the experience that you had in the military, how did that make you want to go into parent coaching, right? Because the thing is, you have a very specific mind that was trained over the course of years and years. When you want to be a parent coach, you need to train people overnight. So is it fair, right? Because then I say, is it fair that we could expect people to kind of get on the same page as you when you've had years and years of training? Like as a parent coach, even just learning how to become a parent coach, how do you help people transition into being a parent, right? Is there like one way that you work with like expecting parents to kind of help get them ready, almost like a boot camp? And then is there another way that you work with parents that are like the kids are already here and like you have no choice? You better roll up those sleeves and get to work. How does the institute and just life in general, how do you work with the two different types of families?
I think if we think about it like the military, there has to be some type of indoctrination. Like the very beginning, let's say you don't have kids at all, you have to introduce them to the words, the terms, the ideas, because especially for fathers, we step into the room sometimes and it's our first time hearing any of it. So it's like if we don't even have the Facebook pages or we're not having conversations about it, how do I start that? So you start with like the indoctrination of what this possibly can look like. And for some, it's even like saying, hey, this is going to happen for 9 months. Some guys, some girls, well, girls mostly know, but some guys will say, like, I didn't know this was going to be a 9 month thing. It's like, okay, where have you been? I had to be under a rock. But if you're talking about families who already have children, they already pretty much know the trials and the tribulations that they're going through. And I think it normally sometimes starts with helping them understand that they're not the only ones, that other people are going through a lot of these same challenges as well, and getting the conversations out and having conversations between the two, between the spouse, mom, or the husband and the wife, having those conversations so we can see where to even start. But that is a lot of what we're talking about in the cohort is being conscious of what is happening around you and learning yourself a lot more. I think once we became parents, we started recognizing that there was a lot of things about us that we needed to learn, or the things that come out that we weren't expecting. So I think my twins and my five kids has helped me get stronger in areas that I didn't even know I was truly weak at. So sometimes that's where we start too. It could be therapy, it could be counseling, it could be having a conversation about how they were raised, and then really building an identity of what type of parent they want to be. And then when you get introduced to the child, you're learning that child every single day. So that still changes and evolves, but you want to make sure you're conscious while you're doing it. And everything's not just a reaction to how things are happening in your home.
I love reacting. Why can't we just react to everything? Why does it have to be? When my twins were little, I remember that I don't know if I've told this story before, but it doesn't matter because it's worth telling again. I remember that there was this like concept called screen-free parenting. And back in the day in 1941, when I had my children, there were things called CDs. And so I bought the CD compilation, and I remember that I listened to the whole thing. I put it on my old school Walkman, and I was like, I'm really going to listen. I'm really going to be engaged. I really know that I have a very fiery personality. I don't have a temper, but I do have a fiery personality. Now, I would blame my Italianness and just being raised in a family of very loud people that we weren't yelling, but we are just loud. We're just loud. Everything's just loud. Where a normal house might live at like a volume of 12, we live at a volume of, I don't know, 32, 40, 45. It depends. It depends on how many of us are there. So I remember consciously saying, I need to make a change. I need to literally, we got to do something. So I listened to this whole thing. And then finally came time where I was going to start implementing some of these like tasks that I've learned. Meyer, it was an epic fail. It was an epic fail that not only did I yell, but I also stomped the CDs into 100 pieces, just to give you like a visual. And so I was so mad. First of all, what I was mad about was, why am I trying to be somebody I'm not when I just need to learn to evolve who I am,
Yes.
right? Why am I going to listen to somebody else's theory on what's happening in my home when they don't even know me? Same thing with Harvey Karp. I remember reading like his books and doing everything that he said. And then the day I mean, there's an interview. It's on Instagram. I remember the first time that I got to meet him and I interviewed him. I literally said to him, "So why don't you tell people that what you're saying doesn't work for everyone?"
Oh, awesome.
We're still friends. I don't know how he still speaks to me. But at the time, I was like a brand new ingenue in the industry. Now I'm like the old ship that nobody wants to go on because the bathrooms aren't updated. That's where I am now in the parenting world. So it's funny that like he would be a peer now. But back in the day, like he was like an icon. And to me, it was like I have to listen to everything he says. Now, this is where I think that you're going to win because there are so many people that become parenting coaches. And Meyer, I will tell you, if you go to mydogismylifecoach.com, that is my website. Okay, the dog that I referenced before. And I often may make fun of life coaches because I am not a fan of, once again, that you're telling me what to do. And you telling me what worked in your house when it doesn't work for you. That's why when I started Twiniversity, I was so mindful to make sure that it didn't have to do with me. It had to do with us. And still, every day the Twiniversity team wakes up, it's not about you. It's not about any of us. It's about us as a community and how do we rise to the top together. So, with that being said, I think where you're winning is that a lot of people who become parent coaches don't really understand psychology. You're learning theories, you're learning techniques, and those techniques may not work for everybody because, like, let's say me and you had a visit, right? You might be like, I learned this at the Parenting Institute, blah, blah, blah. And then I would say, shut your face hole. That's definitely not going to work in my life. But because you're going for that social work degree and you're going to have that psychology, the child development, the adult development, how brain function works, because you have that piece that goes with the skills that you're learning, that's what's going to make you the king.
I'm so happy you said that because that's how I'm seeing it. I think people sometimes think that you can just step into this room and people are supposed to have the answers. No, you're going to hear me say like, hey, you know what? I don't know. Like how let's you want to try this? Like let's try this together. Let's see if this works. Because sometimes people just need to do it with somebody and I'm willing to do it with you so that you know you're not alone doing it. But I'm not going to have all the answers. I do not want to be the person who thinks they can turn everybody into this super parent because it's not going to happen. It's just
And it may
not going to
happen for
happen.
an hour. You may be a super parent for an hour, but that whole frigging free will component of reality really screws things up. So it's what made you say, this is what I want to do, right? Because you could do anything with the experience that you have, you could do so many things. Why did you choose to go into the parenting space?
It's about that training coaching part. I played football, I ran track, like every part of my life, there was some sort of training or coaching. And then I went straight to the Naval Academy right after high school. So I'm still playing football, but now we have the military. There's an indoctrination. I got friends who fly and they have all this coaching and training. And all of these are new positions that I'm getting from the age of whatever all the way to adulthood. I'm changing new positions and I'm always getting training. Fatherhood was like the first thing that I got as a new role that I didn't get any training or any coaching at. And I was like, what is this? Like, this is crazy. It is literally going to be my biggest, most impactful role of my life. And I feel like I'm failing and I don't know where to go and who to talk to. And it's already like a thing too amongst men. Like we're having this thing where we all feel like we're strong, we're macho, whatever. Then you start talking to other men about fatherhood. It's like, oh yeah, I feel like I kind of sucked too. And then I did this, and I did that. And I'm like, oh well, I wish somebody would have told me that. So sometimes it's about helping people get the coaching and the training so we can start the conversations. And the other part is just helping men and fathers have discussions around parenting. I feel like it's extremely impactful and extremely helpful, but there's no way in the world that I'm going to take this role and have it for the rest of my life, knowing that it's going to be one of the biggest positions and going to impact so many people, including my kids, of course, and not want some type of coaching and training. That's just how I feel.
I think it's absolute genius. I feel bad because I know that all the coaches are going to come at me with pitchforks and torches, but I do think that there is a big psychological component that you need that additional training. I don't think that you could just, it's like, how do you just become a therapist? Parent coaching is very much like that. You have to be able to really listen to what your client is telling you or what they're really telling you, and you got to read between the lines. I don't necessarily think that people who take like a 12-week, wellness coaching, because unfortunately, Meyer, I have some friends who've done that, and I'm like, that didn't make you capable of telling that person what to do. But I also think that maybe parents of twins are a little hypersensitive because we don't like to be told what to do by people who don't understand us.
Say it again for the people in the back of the room. Let's just keeping it real.
It really is. And so that everybody's like, how could Twiniversity still be successful? Meanwhile, look, Parents Magazine closed, Baby Center down. Like I have lasted longer than that. And everybody's like, how could that be? You're 3% of the population. This doesn't make sense. I was like, listen, everybody laughed at us the whole time, but it's because we like to listen to each other. This is how we listen to each other. If you are, don't be a singleton person and then come here and tell me how my kids are going to sleep. Don't tell me that you empathize with that. And how do you feel when you speak to other dads? There's got to be a fine line between you have one kid, that's cute, right? How do you not do that? Like, because now you have to be like the coach for every dad, right? So if you're the coach for every dad, I know no matter what you say, because you're going to have to say, I never think that, but I know you're going to think differently when people have singletons because we all do. We can't control it. I mean, one of our number one listened episodes on the podcast is Pooping on Singletons, is literally what the episode is called. And it's
That's a
me
real
and this other
thing.
mom from Queens that are just like, we're tired of listening to you. So, how do you get that dad to wake up and realize that he has to be an active participant? From the jump, from conception, right? You were there. Hopefully, you were there for conception, or maybe she's just telling you were there for conception. No one really knows. We'll wait for Maury to tell us what the results say. But how do you encourage people and let them know that they need coaching? Like, look, you didn't know till after the fact. So, how do you get somebody who's the you? How do you get them to wake up and be like, listen, dude, you got to get ready? Like, this isn't going to be a walk in the park. It will be. And yes, there will be good days, but how do you get to that dad to make him realize that this is important, that this is a stretching exercise before the big game?
I recognize that a lot of dads don't like to be unprepared. Like, that is one of the worst spaces. If you watch a dad pack for travel or for a camping trip or anything, they are getting the things that are going to make them the most prepared. The thing is about fatherhood is that we don't know that we're going to be unprepared. We assume that when we get there that we're just going to get the stuff, or when we're in the hospital that all of the medical staff are going to be talking to mom and they're going to also be talking to us. It doesn't always work out like that. So when we have forceful backup amongst the brothers and we're having these conversations like, hey, this can suck if you don't prepare yourself. Like, this can be really bad for you as well as your entire home if you're also not there ready to support. Like, right now, one of our biggest things that we're having conversation about amongst men is the postpartum period because we just didn't know. And we're also not feeling that. So we don't understand the postpartum depression, what the body's actually doing. But when you introduce these concepts, these scenarios, these situations to the dads, they're like, oh, okay, I want to be prepared because the last thing I want to do is be in a place where I feel like I can't lead my home because I'm just like this backseat passenger parent. So I kind of start with that. I lead myself as forceful backup, and I'm having the conversations with the dad and say, hey, you don't want to be unprepared for this. And then their eyes and their ears kind of perk up, and then the questions start to come. And we will listen to each other. And it's not like this kumbaya thing. Amongst us, like, we are not too afraid to have that gym or locker room conversation where it's like, bro, don't be that dad. Like, because if you're not going to show up, you can't expect me to still have a conversation with you. Like, the last thing I want is to be a friend of some deadbeat dad who's not showing up for his wife and not showing up for his kids. So we can have those conversations. It's not always like, it doesn't have to be all sensitive, emotional. We can talk to each other like that because we do it all the time. It's just, is the conversation being started? So that's at least how I lead into the conversation.
I really wish that more dads would do that. Like we even say in our Twiniversity classes, like bring your partner. And they're like, well, my partner can't make it. I'm like, okay, listen, I understand. You got to bring somebody. Somebody's got to be with you, right? We got to have a second pair of ears. But when I created our Twiniversity classes, truthfully, I created it for the dads. Because the thing is, we're ready, right? We're the ones that do the packing for the camping trip. Like we know everything that we needed. And we've seen a million of our friends and family have kids. So we've been invited into really tight circle conversations about how to prepare, and oh my God, this is what an episiotomy is going to be, and this is when it's going to hurt, and you're going to be bleeding like this. Where I want dad to know, like, hey, listen, here's how you're going to support her. Here's what you do on delivery day. Here's what you're going to pack in your hospital bag. So
Yes.
we talk about all that, but Meyer, honestly, I feel like it's freaking pulling teeth. And I don't know if it's that moms aren't then telling their partners that this is important, right? Because I'm not there in the room when things are happening. But I really have always felt that this sounds horrible, but I really do feel like your partner is the stable one because we're going through such emotional turmoil, and not because we're weak, not because of anything, but because your body crash lands after you have twins. So it's one thing to have a singleton, your body's kind of capable of it. But of course, singleton births still have the same trauma as anybody else. But with ours, we get a little bit bonus. We have like the bonus plan.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe we come a little bit early. Maybe we need a little bit of NICU time. Maybe we decide that we want to breastfeed. And there's, thank God, we have the two boobs with the two babies. Like, there's so many more things that you have to think about that I need somebody to be kind of like the trunk of the tree. We're going to be the leaves blowing in the wind because that's what we have to do. But I need somebody to be the roots and the tree that's going to support us. And a lot of dads don't know how to do that. So
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, here's where we're going to start. Right? We're going to do it the same way that we eat an elephant. This is what I tell my kids all the time. One bite at a time. Nothing to get nervous about. He's going to be just as delicious, that elephant. It's going to be wonderful, this poor elephant that I reference all the time. But we got to take it piece by piece. And so when we created our classes, that's what we did, is we made it into tiny modules, thinking that dads would watch it and rewatch it. And truthfully, I know that they do. But I don't know how to tell them that it's going to be a frying pan to the back of the head when you're in
Yeah.
that hospital. And I really wish that dads understood. So I'm thrilled, thrilled for the world that you exist.
And it's the more we make of me, and I'm not trying to big myself up or anything like that,
You
because
should.
dads are gonna hopefully go tell other dads and have this. But the more we have like the me, the more forceful backup is going to be present. Because you got to remember too, mom is going through those like 9 months. You're constantly feeling the baby. You're
Yeah.
looking at the apps as you're scrolling through your social media. You're seeing Twiniversity. You're seeing like all these different things. It's like you're constantly being surrounded by the idea that this is going to happen and I need to be prepared for it. Dad is every once in a while. It's like when we talk about it, or baby, see, you see the baby bump,
Yeah.
but everything else is still like football season, basketball season. Like that's how he's breaking things up until you get to the due date. But it's not until you see that baby for the first time in the hospital, you're holding and you're looking into the baby's eyes and you're remembering these last like couple of hours where things were just crazy and all these people ran in this room. You just get punched in the chest and you're like, holy crap. Like I gotta play catch up. But guess what? It's too late to play catch up. You're gonna be playing a losing game from the back. You wanna be prepared for it. So the more dads we're talking about, and the more we have of me with other dads, they're gonna get it because we need to tap into the courses and the stuff that you have and these podcasts and listen. Like we need to be immersed in all of it. It's just recognizing that the guys don't know that it's there
Yeah,
sometimes.
I got to figure it out. Even when we wrote the books, if you read, I don't, you certainly, it's not required reading to be part of the podcast, but when I wrote What to Do When You're Having Two, I was like, okay, how am I going to get these dads to read it? So all the, like, the important parts that I need dads to read, it's literally in a gray box. So if you thumb through the whole book, if you see the gray, stop. Like, I remember working with my editor and she was like, that's dumb. You know, you shouldn't assume that you should. I was like, I'm not going to assume anything for anybody. That's the first problem where you're going. And I said, and I want it to be that they don't have to read the backstory and the history of the double stroller. Like, they may want that, they can, but if they only have 5 minutes, just thumb through it, like literally a deck of cards, and find the gray boxes and just read the gray boxes. Like,
Thank
those are the things that I
God.
need for you guys.
Thank
So
God
I've
for
been,
you.
from the first time, from 2009, I will happily tell you that I knew that this is not a solo sport. Well, not 2009. I had my kids in 2004. But without my husband, and I'm not saying that he's the best dad or worst dad, it's certainly, that's not a judgment, but I needed another, there had to be another pair of hands. Then getting involved with the Manhattan Twins Club and going to picnics and seeing all these partners, and the partners that were tapped out did not have good relationships with their kids.
And
Wow.
so the thing is that they're like, well, what are you saying? You know, I'm a partner at this law firm and whatever, and I make money. Who gives a crap how much money
Yeah.
you make? You think that anybody's on their deathbed going, I wish I would have made more money, right? We want more quality time. We want more constructive time with our families. And I think that dads sometimes think that it's all about, I got to pay those bills, and this is what
Yeah.
I'm bringing to the table, and this is what I'm going to do. But as a daddy's girl, I will tell you that we didn't have any money. We had nothing. And so growing up super duper poor, but having my dad was priceless. And it's very hard to get that across to dads because they're
Yeah.
like, okay, she carries the babies. This is what she does because we all live in 1922, right? How do we change the minds of dads to be like, hey, listen, I understand that's the way we thought. This is the way we need to think.
Yeah.
Right. Do you find that the world is changing and that it's an easier conversation to have? Or do you find that the majority of men are still in that old school, I bring home the bacon and this is the way our family works?
There is definitely like a lot of bacon guys out there. But thankfully, for things like social media, we are having people share these conversations as they come up. Because what we're talking about is like those P's, like to protect and provide. Like we've been literally hammered that into our head for our entire lives. And now you have this man who is like, thinks he has to fix it. And I remember even going through like marriage counseling, and they were talking about like, hey, sometimes she might just want you to listen. Like you don't have to fix everything. So when we introduce the other P, which is presence, like, hey, they just need you to be there. It is a lost concept on us. Like, what do you mean you like there's value in just like showing up? Yes. Like, you don't have to go fix it. You don't have to go do this or that. If you can be around more, that will introduce opportunities to bond and for your children to just see you and for your wife to see you. Like, that is a huge concept. And it is easier to now have these conversations. If I'm being honest, like, if you go into my insights on my social media, most of my consumers are all moms and they're sending the stuff. You see just like thousands of shares and they're sending it to the dads. So the dads are now getting it and seeing it. And now when we're having these conversations, like, okay, protect, provide, be present. Protect, provide, be present. And there's value in it. But we got to get out of the idea that those first two are the only things that our families need from us.
It's really true. It's we could do, I mean, there's definitely a level of money that we need to keep a roof over our head, but I can't even talk about my father. Like I lost my dad a few years ago, and truthfully, even with Father's Day, just recently, like it's still weirdly hard. But if I didn't know him so well, I wouldn't be this heartbroken. So anytime I get really sad, I really think I'm sad because I had him and
Yeah.
I had all of him.
Wow, that's powerful.
And so my book is dedicated to my dad. And honestly, I'm going to read it to you right now, okay, as I literally take it off the shelf, because I think that dads are going to listen to this episode and I think dads need to hear this. All right, are you ready?
I'm
All
ready.
right, it says this book is dedicated to my dad, Eddie Welsh. No matter what, he was my biggest fan, and never a day went by that he didn't say he was proud of me. Not one. Every father or father to be reading this book should know that the love between a child and their dad is something magical and should never be underestimated. While moms are more in the spotlight, just know that all eyes are on you too. And take every moment to shine like my dad did. He taught me what kindness, compassion, and love looks like. He was an amazing father, husband, and peepaw, which is what my kids called him. And his encouragement to this whole family is something written about in books. My book. Love you, Daddy. Net. And like, we think that this is like a female dominated industry, but I'm just trying to talk to dads for 16 years.
Wow.
I'm trying to get them to finally listen. And I think maybe it's because my voice is a little bit more soprano than bass like yours is. I'm so excited for the community that you exist. And I'm so proud of you that you're making such a big step, because not only is this such a time commitment, but it's a financial commitment. It's just how much space you have in your brain. Like, you're going to
Yeah.
be using up a lot of this for teaching us. And Meyer, honestly, I am honored that you chose to play with us for our podcast for even 2 minutes. I would have taken any amount of your time. But how do we find you and how do we get more information? We're going to have everything in the show notes. But if somebody's listening in their car right now and they hear this great story, where do they find you today?
Absolutely. So you can go straight to the website, hereforthedads.com. And that's FOR, here for the dads. Now, I'm very active on Instagram as well. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, that's going to be here for the dads with a number four. And that's just where to find me. Hit me up, DM me, ask me questions. I'll send you stuff. We're going to have a lot of fun in these communities, but that's where you can find me the most.
Oh, Meyer, thank you so, so much. Happy belated Father's Day. Thank you
Thank you.
for
Thank
playing
you.
with us. And guys, if you need anything from Meyer, we're going to have everything in the show notes. You could also email us at community@twiniversity.com. If you want to send us a letter, we'll forward it on to him. But thank God for social media that everybody is accessible. So you don't even have to, we're not gatekeeping anything. But if you're listening to this and you're an expecting mom, your partner needs to do something now. And they don't do it for them, because they'll be like, I'm good, everything's good. They need to do it for you, and they need to do it for their family, and they need to do it for their future, so that they don't feel like stomping a CD into a million pieces. They need to be recognized now that we all need help, we all need support, but we are better when we are together. That's just the reality of it. And so we're stronger as a community, and dads are their own sub-community within the twin community. But you know, Meyer, I'm sure that when you go to a playground, if you see another double stroller, you're like a moth to a flame.
Yep. Every
That's
time.
how we roll. That's how we do things. We are better together. So yes, for more information, you could check out all Meyer's information. I'm really excited to see the evolution of what this is going to be. I'm excited just to see what happens with this new baby. That's it. This is going to be a
Yeah.
whole, they keep rolling the dice. You guys keep going. What if you got twins again? What were you going to
Oh,
do then?
God. I don't know, Di. I don't know. It would have been great, though. At least I've been more prepared this time.
That is, I say, the people who deserve 20s are the people that have 20s. They're the ones that are ready for it, but they don't feel the same way. Hashtag twins twice on Instagram. Look it up. It's very traumatizing if
Oh,
you have your
God.
one set. Oh, my God. But thank you so much, Meyer, for joining us and for everybody listening. Just like and subscribe, all that stuff that people say. But truthfully, that's how they find us, right? That's how other people find us, is by liking and subscribing and going to check out Meyer and forwarding his videos on Insta to your partner. That is the way that we grow. That's it. It is no longer, I never bought an ad. Meyer's not going to do the same. We have to grow organically. And the likes and subscribes, unfortunately, are how that it happens. So if you've enjoyed this, you know where to find us. Please do that. And you could email us pretty much 24/7. And heck, literally, if you even want to call me, my number's on the Twiniversity website. I'm one of the most accessible parenting people in the universe. And I really mean it. If you guys need help, we can't help you until you tell us how you need our help, but we'll always be ready. And I know Meyer feels the same exact way. So until next time, guys, thank you so, so much for joining us today, and I'll see you later, alligators. Thanks for listening.